Good morning, 7:41 here on the Mighty 690. It is time for a Friday legislative update. And joining us on the phone here this morning, we have State Representative Ron Bryce. Good morning, sir. How you doing?
Good morning, James. Good to be here.
Hey, good to have you along. So you are in Topeka right now, and how are things going up there?
Yeah, I apologize for not being in person up there, but we are kind of in the heat of things here in the state legislature, and we're having extra committee meetings today, and a lot of things going on, but it's really enjoyable.
Hey, that's very good. So I understand you've had a few visitors, so you want to tell us about those?
Yeah. Oh, I also wanted to tell you, I forgot to mention earlier when we talked, but last night we had a granddaughter born. So I want to Evangeline. She's the newest in our family into the world last night. We have, you know, one of the special things about being at the State House, being in the legislature, is it's a grand place, if you've ever been there. But people come visit. People come talk about issues. And some of them, you know, groups of people come. There was a group from Independence, the JAG K group. Pastor Brian Novell came, brought them. Shayla Relaford brought the JAG K group from Field Kinley in Coffeyville. Also, I wanted to say, coming up on Wednesday, the Independence High School tennis teams are going to be in the legislature being honored for winning the state championship, boys and girls tennis. Henry Williams is bringing his uppercut boxing members Wednesday to be house pages. I had a delightful, I would say, dinner with the Taiwanese government delegation after the Kansas House passed a resolution last week marking the unity and trade between Kansas and Taiwan. So it's just always somebody coming, always visitors. Events, and it's a great place to visit. And if anyone's coming, just give me a call or shout out on Facebook. I'd love to show you around.
Well, that is great. That's really awesome. And yeah, who'd have thought that, you know, people from, you know, Taiwan would actually come to Kansas? So that's really neat. And I know that you have some speaking events and that sort of thing, a few things coming up that people might be interested in.
Yeah, and another kind of a positive point of having the job that I have is I'm asked to speak at different places. I know in a couple of weeks I'm going to be at the University of Tulsa Law School. I'll be speaking at a symposium on legalizing marijuana, so I'm honored to be considered for that and looking forward to it. From a medical point of view, I'm kind of bringing my 40 years of healthcare practice into the debate on legalization of marijuana. It's mostly geared around Oklahoma, but we're also, of course, seeing it on the horizon in Kansas. I was able to speak in Beloit, Kansas a week or so ago at a wonderfully made expo. It's Representative Clark Sanders is one of the representatives here, and his daughter put it on. There were several hundred people there and just great time visiting with them. I was invited to speak at the Kansas Medical Society. I was kind of kind of the warm-up act for the governor a week or two ago. And they were just a great bunch of people, had some great questions and comments. So, again, it's just an honor to be involved with all this and being able to connect with people like this.
No, that is really great. So a unique opportunity for sure to be able to talk with people there. And, you know, I was thinking we've got so many, you know, new people coming into the community, which is great. We've got new listeners. Maybe you haven't heard you before. So it'd be a good opportunity here every once in a while. To go ahead and, you know, share a few things that, you know, you stand for as our elected representative, and just, you know, tell us a little bit about how you approach your time in Topeka.
Yeah, that's something I'd like to do because, you know, before I got involved with politics a couple of years ago, you know, I had strongly held beliefs, but wasn't really able to focus them and crystallize them in a way that was comprehensible. And so one of the blessings of being in this position is it forces you to figure out what you believe in and why you believe in it, even if you kind of thought you already knew. So I have just a handful of things I've been thinking about and things that I will stand up for. And just so the voters and the listeners would know what they're getting into with me as their legislator. First thing I wanted to say is the first day back from the job here, we passed a Israel and its right to exist, and condemning Hamas attacks. So I think all forms of anti-Semitism and racism are wrong. Another thing that I stand up strongly for is tax relief, and I think that is sorely needed by all taxpayers, especially property taxpayers. And so I'm going to work and do my best to provide Kansas tax relief, property tax, sales tax, income tax. I don't think we should tax Social Security benefits on elderly people on fixed income. I strongly believe in life and protecting the lives of children born and pre-born, and I'll do everything I can to help pregnant mothers and families and the lives of children. I'll work to, this is something that is more controversial perhaps, but this is something I feel strongly about, and that is I will work to stop the mutilation, sterilization of children. I am appalled by what the transgender forces have brought to us in recent years, and I will do what I can to give parents rights, support parents' rights, and protect children there. I'll also protect parents' rights to direct the education of their children. And if I could, this brings up something in mind. Yesterday, this is just an example of something I believe strongly in and I'm standing up for. Yesterday, there was a hearing in the House Healthcare Committee, and it was a hearing on a bill that I presented. And this is a bill I didn't predict would come around, but it is House Bill 2793, and it stems from a constituent in Montgomery County came to me and said her 14-year-old daughter was being treated at a medical clinic, and she had no idea it was happening and had not given consent and was not informed about it, and she was wondering how that could happen because minor children, unless they're emancipated, or she thought, should be having the parents' permission for treatment. And at first, I didn't think it was an issue. I thought maybe there was some confusion. There's an emancipated minor kind of factor that sometimes children under the age of 18 will be able to give their own consent for treatment because they are financially independent. Maybe they're married, have their own children, but they're still under 18, so the courts deemed them to be mature. But the more I looked into it, there were more people that came forward and said, yeah, their minor children were being evaluated and treated in general medicine, mental health, reproductive health. And so I looked into that further with some of the attorneys here at the state capitol, and it came down to a concept that they call mature minor doctrine. And mature minor doctrine is a big term, but it basically is not a law, but it's just an accumulation of attorney general opinions and court cases that had kind of settled on this philosophy that some children under the age of 18 are mature enough to give consent, even though we usually rely on parents to give consent. So basically, in a nutshell, what I did was I worked with the attorneys here, and we developed House Bill 2793, which had a hearing yesterday. And what it says is, unless it's a life and limb emergency, like in the emergency room, if say a child comes in, they've been run over by a car, they're bleeding internally, we don't wait for the parent's consent. Of course, we go ahead and treat the child. As soon as the parent gets there, we do the appropriate consent forms and so forth. But in non-emergent cases, when it's just routine care, I believe the parents should be directing the care of their children because, you know, the thing that came to my mind was, who owns the children? You know, whose children are they? It's not the government's children, it's the parents' children. So I think they ought to have the bottom line say in directing the care. So we had a hearing yesterday, and I was surprised at what we're up against in things like this. There are organized groups who are just adamantly opposed to parents having the right to give consent for care of their children. But this is a thing, this is just an example of what we do every day in the legislature, but this is the kind of thing that I want to stand up for and fight for because it's a deeply held belief of mine.
Yeah, well, it's definitely good to hear, you know, how you're working on all of that. And yeah, it is kind of crazy that you know, we seem to have some different laws, different kind of double standards going on. But hey, I did want to ask you, are there any other bills in specific that you've been working on, and any kind of updates on those?
Yeah, absolutely. Probably the biggest one on everybody's mind is just this tax relief. I mean, tax relief is so needed in the state of Kansas. We have, it's unbelievable to me, but there's over $3 billion in the state checking accounts, basically, accounts that is surplus tax money. And plus, that's on top of the $1.7, $1.8 billion in the rainy day fund. And so the state is sitting on this load of cash. And for some reason, we haven't been able to return it to the what I consider the rightful owners, the taxpayers. So we passed a comprehensive tax relief bill a few weeks ago. The governor did veto it. So this coming week, we're going to have a veto override vote, and that's going to be big. We need two-thirds majority in the House and two-thirds majority in the Senate in order to override that veto of the governor. And right now it's a razor's edge margin of whether we can do it or not. And I really hope and pray that we can, because it would provide income tax relief, property tax relief. It would make the sales tax on groceries go away right away rather than extended period of time. As I said, Social Security income would not be taxed. There'll be income tax exemptions indexed for inflation so that inflation doesn't even a silent taxes, it makes your exemptions seem lower and lower every year. So this is something we need, and so that's coming up. A lot of other bills. There is kind of an interesting bill, HB 2732. That's House Bill 2732. That's a bill that was controversial, but I really believe this is a good thing, and it allows public schools to employ chaplains if they want to, and they can, well, not employ, but have them as volunteers, and the chaplains would provide counseling and support and services under the direction of the Board of Education superintendent. I think that would be a positive thing. Another bill that I introduced, and I really hope has a hearing soon, is House Bill 2722, HB 2722. It's a Second Amendment bill. It's called the Second Amendment Financial Privacy Act. Basically, what it does is there's a push right now for credit card companies and financial institutions to track purchases of handguns, firearms, ammunition, firearm supplies. And that is potentially used to, you know, in kind of the ultimate goal seems to be a conspiracy theory, if you call it, if you want. But if the ultimate goal is to say, okay, you've had enough ammunition for this year, you know, we're cutting off this purchase of ammunition at Walmart. And so it is a bill that says Second Amendment, the right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed, also means ammunition, and it means that credit card companies cannot restrict the sale of firearms and ammunition. So that's one that I think would catch a lot of attention. But there are a lot of really heavy bills coming this way. There's I mentioned one that I had heard in Health Committee this week. There was another one a couple days earlier. And this one is surrounding the issue of abortion. And as you may know, the number of abortions in the state of Kansas in the last year has doubled or tripled. We were around, I believe, 7,000 a year. Now we're up maybe 15,000 a year. And that's all in response, really, to some of the votes that came earlier. But this bill that I took to the Health Committee for a hearing this week would get to the causes of the factors underlying women's decision to have an abortion. Is it financial? Do they already have too many children? Do they have educational needs? Is it family support? Or are they being coerced by a spouse or another person? And so we want to find these factors that are inhibiting a woman's right to carry her baby to term and try to address those with funding programs that would be helpful in relieving these stresses for pregnant women. So that's House Bill 2749. That was heard earlier this week in the Health Committee. So I hope that gives a little taste of some of the issues that I feel strongly about and that I'm bringing before the legislature and some of the things that I hope my constituents are being served well by me doing this. And if not, let me know. Or if you like what I'm doing, let me know. Just go to Facebook or give me a call. Facebook is Ron Bryce for Kansas. And I'd love to communicate with you because I'd love to know what you think about these things.
No, that is a great opportunity, and folks can really, you know, help to make a difference in that way to, you know, share their opinions with the elected representatives such as yourself. So, sir, I know we've got about 3 or so minutes left, but did want to go ahead and talk a little bit about some of those upcoming votes that we have. I know that we have a veto override the session, I think, coming up. So can you fill us in on what we have on the horizon?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. There are many. It's amazing when you're here. Each bill is very complicated and implies things over abroad. You know, it's other laws are affected by each bill that we do. And there are currently, I believe, 800 and something bills before the legislature. So you can imagine the volume of information that we try to consume. One that I think is interesting is House Bill 2583. We just voted on it in the House earlier this week. This is an interesting thing. Veterinarians are involved, police are involved, but it involves killing or injuring a police dog or police horse because apparently that's something that happens. You know, someone's committing a crime and so forth, and they kill the police dog, the canine, or do something with the horse that the police officer uses. And so we're doing that to protect animals. I wrote down a couple things I want to take a look at. Oh, there's another one on restricting advanced voting ballots. It's Senate Bill 343. That one I think is important because one of the things that seems to be on a lot of people's minds is just how secure is our elections, our polling systems? Can we rely on the vote, especially with this presidential election coming up later this year? And so this hearing would attempt to reduce election fraud by restricting ballots that are not in person, requiring some identification, and so some approval from the county, from the county level for these voting ballots. So these are also some of the issues that we're looking at.
All right. Well, appreciate you joining us here this morning, talking with State Representative Ron Bryce. And amazingly, again, we're out of time. It always seems to go fast. But I appreciate all the work you're doing for us there in Topeka. And I hope you have a great rest of your day and a weekend ahead. And look forward to talking again here real soon.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you, James.
All right. Thank you. That is State Representative Ron Bryce here on the Mighty 690. We get to talk with him here on Fridays, where we have our legislative update coming up next week. We will talk with State Senator Virgil Peck. 41 degrees as we have news on the way here on KGGF.